Let's read a verse in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 19. Luke 19 and 10. Now, this probably doesn't seem like that it's in line with a Christmas theme, but it is. I can assure you, it is. Luke 19 and 10, one verse. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Praise God. Amen. We're talking about some of the reasons why that Jesus came. This verse says that he came seeking. He came to seek and to save the lost. Now, it's always important to look at the text, the verse in its context. It's important. This is a verse that really concludes the story of Jesus passing through Jericho. Jesus passing through Jericho, and there was a man there by the name of Zacchaeus. And that man was short of stature. All the kids know the story. Everybody knows the story. He climbed up into that sycamore tree because he was curious. He wanted to see Jesus. He wanted to see who he was. His curiosity caused him to want to see him. And not only did he see Jesus, but Jesus saw him. Praise God. Jesus saw him, and Jesus invited himself to Zacchaeus' house, to go to his house, and something happened that transformed his life. Salvation came to the household of Zacchaeus. Now, I'm sure that there probably were a lot of people in Jericho that weren't too happy about Jesus giving attention to this man, Zacchaeus, because he was probably the most hated man in town. He was not just a publican. The Bible says he was chief of the publicans, and that means he held a position of authority over all of the other publicans. So he was really being used by the Roman government to set up these stations, these taxation stations, and all over the cities and all over Palestine to make sure that they paid their taxes to the Roman government. And all of the publicans, all of the tax collectors, always took advantage and took a lot more. They exacted a lot more than they should have. And as a result, the people couldn't do anything about it because they had the power of the Roman government behind them. And so they were hated. And you'll see the phrase in the New Testament a number of times. It really relates publicans to sinners, one and the same, publicans and sinners. To that population, they just believed that the publicans were the lowest of the low, taking advantage of people, stealing from the poor, taking advantage in every possible way of the people. And so they were despised. And this man was chief of the publicans. So he was likely the most hated man in town. And this is the man that Jesus goes home with. And I'm sure that there would have been a lot of upset, anger, resentment about Jesus' visit to his home, except for the fact that after that visit, Zacchaeus is transformed. And they see the evidence of that transformation because he started going to house and saying, I took this much, too much money from you. I'm going to give it back to you fourfold. He starts going door to door and back to everyone that he had stolen from, and he restored their money fourfold. They knew something had happened in the heart and the life of Zacchaeus. And then he concludes the story by saying, the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'm so thankful that Jesus came to save not just every sinner, but the worst of sinners. There's a song that we sing, I know Jesus' blood can wash our sins, something like that, but it says Jesus' blood can wash the vilest sinner clean. The worst person, the worst man, the worst woman, no matter how evil or how wicked or how far away from God they are, Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. While you're singing the Christmas carols, you ought to notice all the wonderful salvation doctrine that's in so many of the Christmas carols. How about the one that Charles Wesley wrote? And here's some of the words to it. It's Hark the Herald Angels Sing. Mild he laid his glory by, born that man no more may die, born to raise the sons of earth, born to give them second birth. Veiled in flesh, the Godhead see. Hail thee, incarnate deity. Pleased as man with men to dwell, Jesus our Emmanuel. Praise God. What wonderful words. What an anointed writer that Charles Wesley was to write the words that describe Jesus and why he came. He came to seek and to save the lost. He came into this world to seek and to save the lost. And it's not just in the Gospels that we read about Jesus' coming. We do read about his incarnation, about his birth in a manger, and all the wonderful things related to his coming into this world in the flesh. But you know that Jesus has always been coming. Jesus has always been coming. You can go all the way back to the book of Genesis, and you can see that Jesus was a part of what was going on. He was a part of that triune Godhead. The Bible says that God said, let us, plural, make man in our image. Jesus himself was right there as a part of creation all the way back in the beginning. He was there at that time. He is that third person of the Trinity. He is that one part of the triune God that said, let us make man. Praise God. And so God has always been a part. He's always been inserting himself, pursuing men, after the deeds of people, concerned about people. And several times in the Old Testament, at least 10, maybe 12 times in the Old Testament, Jesus actually appears. He appears. He's referred to as the Son of Man or the Angel of the Lord. And it's actually an appearance of the Lord. You remember when Abram and Sarah were barren and Sarah come up with the idea, well, you just take my handmaiden, Hagar, and make her your wife. And so he went in unto her and she was then expecting a baby. And she got so spiteful and so resentful toward her that she put her out and put her out into the wilderness. And here she is expecting a baby out in the wilderness, all alone. And the Lord, the angel of the Lord, appeared unto Hagar. The angel of the Lord appeared unto her in the wilderness by the pool. She is desperate. She is alone. And the angel of the Lord, Jesus Christ himself, appears unto Hagar. He begins to tell her she's got a future. There's hope for her future. Tells her to go back to her home. And she called the name of that place El Rohoi. The place means the God that sees. So Jesus saw Hagar in her desperate, alone situation. And Jesus is always aware of the needs of people. Always aware of the needs of people. It doesn't matter how far away from God or how desperate their circumstance is. Jesus is concerned about you in your trouble, in your sickness, in your fear, in your lostness. He cares about you, and he is the God that sees. Jesus is that angel of the Lord that sees where you are and knows what's happening in your life. Praise God for that. Amen. And then a little bit later, he appeared to Abraham. He's one of the three visitors that come into the camp of Abraham. He's the one that says to Abraham, you might be old and Sarah might be old, but about this time next year, you're going to have a child. You're going to have a child. It's going to be a miracle. You're going to have a baby. She was barren and Yahweh appeared. Jehovah appeared. He was one of the three that appeared that day to Abraham and to Sarah. And then in Genesis 18, whenever Abraham is going up to the mount of the Lord, and Isaac says, well, we've got the wood and we've got the fire, but where is the sacrifice? Where is the sacrifice? And he says, the Lord will provide, or Jehovah Jireh. He will provide. He is the Lord that will provide. And so Abraham, it was that angel of the Lord that stopped him before he plunged the dagger into the heart of Isaac. The Lord provided a ram in the thicket. God will provide. And that was a wonderful Old Testament appearance of the angel of the Lord, Jesus Christ, our Savior, who is the one who comes, Jehovah Jireh, who will always provide what we are in need of. Amen. Amen. And then remember when Jacob wrestled with the angel of the Lord? He too had an encounter. He held on. He would not let go. He wrestled with that angel all night long, saying, bless me, bless me. He knew that this was more than just an angel. This was the Son of God that he wrestled with until he blessed his life. Amen. Praise God. There's a lot of other appearances in the scripture of Jesus, because Jesus has always been pursuing after mankind. He's always been pursuing after the lost. He's always concerned about our needs and the circumstances that we are going through. And he cares about you today. I don't know what your need is. I don't know what your sickness or your trouble or your worry or your condition might be. But whatever that it might be, he cares about you. And Jesus is able minister you to you today. He's come to seek and to save that which was lost. Amen. Praise God. Moses is taking care of his father-in-law's sheep out in the wilderness, and there's a bush that's burning but not being consumed. There's a voice that speaks to him out of that bush. That was none other than the Son of God that spoke to him. He said, tell him I am that I am. I am the self-existent one. I am the Son of God. Amen. And so he appeared to Moses as well. I can keep going and telling you other places. Corinthians tells us about the experience of the children of Israel and being led by the pillar of cloud by day and fire by night. And the Apostle Paul says, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant how that all of our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea. And we're all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. And did all eat the same spiritual meat. And did all drink the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock. That rock that followed them. That rock was Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. With the children of Israel as they went through the wilderness and all their experiences, it was the Son of God that was with them, leading them and providing for them through that entire experience. When Isaiah had the vision in Isaiah chapter 6, where he saw the Lord high and lifted up and his train filled the temple, Isaiah had a vision of the Son of God in all of his majesty and glory. I'm telling you that all through the Old Testament, Jesus has been appearing. Jesus has been revealing himself. And Jesus has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Praise the Lord. How about those three Hebrew children that would not bow to the idols of Nebuchadnezzar? They refused to bow and to worship those idols. They ended up in a fiery furnace that had been heated up 7 times hotter than normal and thrown into that furnace. But then the king was bewildered because he said, I see one in that furnace, and he has the likeness of the Son of God. He looks like Jesus. He looks like the Son of God. There he was in your most crisis times. He'll come right into the fire with you. Whatever you're up against, whatever you're dealing with, whatever your trouble is, whatever your concerns might be today, your worries and your fears, oh, he wants to reveal himself to you. Jesus has always been coming. He's always been appearing. He's always been revealing himself to us in our times of need. Praise God. Hallelujah. Galatians chapter 4 says he came in the fullness of time. We know that this verse is talking about Jesus coming in the flesh in Bethlehem in the form of a little baby. When the fullness of time was come, Jesus, or God, sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Jesus came into this world for that one purpose. He came into this world to seek and to save the lost. Isn't it a wonderful thing that we are seeking after him? Before you ever had in your mind one thought to ever seek after God, he was seeking for you. Before you would have ever had that, even the concept or understanding of who God was, or that he loved you, or that he died on a cross, Jesus was seeking after you. Amen. That's why that whenever we get involved in outreach and evangelism and missions and going after people, seeking after the lost, and we're partnering with Jesus and his mission. His mission is to seek and save the lost. And we need to get involved in that. We need to partner with him in that and do what we can do to seek those that are lost. Amen. The Bible says in John chapter 1, verse 14, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Tabernacled. The word literally means he tabernacled among us. He lived among us. He dwelt with us. We beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, this was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And his fullness have we all received. Of his fullness have we all received. And grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Praise God. Jesus came into the world. We celebrate Christmas and the holiday season, or the holy day seasons. This is all about the message of the gospel. It's all about the mission of Jesus Christ coming into the world to bring light into a dark place. Praise God. That's why I love the lights. It's symbolic to me of the light of the world that came into a dark world. Hallelujah. Amen. That the law came by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. He came into the world to provide salvation and hope. Who for? Well, publicans and sinners. The most hated, the most despised. Those that were the most undeserving of forgiveness. Jesus was seeking after them. You may think, well, Zacchaeus was seeking after Jesus, but the reality was that Jesus was coming to Jericho to seek him out. He was seeking out the worst of sinners, the most wicked and ungodly and the most undeserving of the love of God. Jesus was seeking after them. He sought after those that were caught in adultery. He sought after blind beggars and lepers that had been set apart. He sought after wild men that were demon-possessed, living in tombs. He sought after fishermen, politicians, the rich, the poor, the prostitutes, the drunkards. On and on, the list goes of those that did not deserve his forgiveness, but yet he came to seek and to save the lost. Amen. He proved that even again in his last dying breath on the cross, as he offered forgiveness to those that were hung on the cross with him, and he provided eternal life for the one that was willing to put his faith and his trust in the Son of Man. Even that thief on the cross, In his last dying breath, he proved that Jesus has come into the world to seek and to save the lost. Praise God for that. Amen. Amen. I'm saved today because Jesus found me as a 15-year-old boy and showed compassion to me and forgiveness to me when I did not deserve it. And every one of you in this building this morning, if you're born again, if you're a Christian, you're not worthy of it. You don't deserve it. But he came seeking after you. And he found you in your lost condition. And he saved you. And he's given you an abundant life, an eternal life. And all of these wonderful benefits have come to us because of our seeking Savior. Amen. The one that came to seek and to save the lost. Praise God. Aren't you grateful that he came seeking after you? That he came to seek after you? You know, we don't use the term lost very much. Not as much as we used to. But that really is very descriptive to describe a person in their sin. Their loss. If you've been lost before, it's a pretty miserable feeling to not know where you are or where you're going. Probably most of us have had that. But in a spiritual sense, we were all lost. We had no purpose in our life. We had no sense of direction. We could not understand it all. There's no meaning or purpose to our life. It's the reason why that there are so many suicides, so much desperation in our world today. They're lost. They're lost. And nothing can satisfy. Jesus came seeking because he wants to save the lost. That person that is wayward, that person that is far away from God, don't even think about God, doesn't have God in their knowledge, they're not thinking about the Lord, but today Jesus is seeking and saving the lost. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord for that. Praise the Lord for that. And oh, we should be so thankful that he cares about our lost friends and loved ones. You've got them. I've got them. There are people that I love, people that I care about. I've got uncles. I've got other family members, cousins, loved ones that don't know the Lord. There are other members of my family and people that I care about. They're lost. They're so lost, they don't even know how lost they are. They're so desperately in need of the Lord, and they don't even realize how desperately lost that they are. But Jesus, all the while, is seeking after them. Amen. Much more than you care about them, he cares about them. And his plan has been to seek after them. And he's pursuing them. He's seeking them. He's dealing with them. He is convicting them. He is working on their hearts. And don't ever doubt it. Don't ever doubt that God isn't speaking to their heart. Amen. Praise God. I remember, I've told this a lot, and some of you were here many years ago when Ray Broughton got saved. And Brother Huff, and I believe it was a Wednesday night, when Brother Huff said something about, I don't think it was even in preaching, I think it was in the earlier part of the service that he said something about, you know, you can get saved, you can even get saved right now if you want to. And Ray Broughton stood up and he said, I want to get saved. I want to get saved. And later on, Joanne said, well, Ray, you told me that the Lord never did talk to you and the Lord never did deal with you. And Ray said, oh, I lied. He was dealing with me. He was dealing with me a long time. And he put on the front like a lot of your friends and loved ones will put up that front and act like they're not interested in God or the things of God or the Word of God. But I want you to know there is a work of the Spirit of God that's going on in the world. And God is seeking after the lost. He's talking to them. He's dealing with them. He's seeking after them. And he wants you and I to partner with him and to pray for the lost and to reach for the lost and understand that those that are lost in their sins, Jesus cared enough about them to come into this world and to tabernacle among men, to take upon the frailty of human flesh, to be born in a little small town called Bethlehem, In all of the humility and all of that he took upon himself the form of flesh. The only reason he did that was because he wanted to redeem mankind from their sin. That's why he came. Let's take advantage of this Christmas season. While the Christmas carols are blaring in the stores and downtown and everywhere, I know some of the carols may not necessarily speak a Christian message, but some of them do. Some of them do. And let's pray that God will use those Christmas carols to get a hold of their heart, to let them see that Jesus is seeking after them and wants to bring them to a place of repentance and forgiveness of sins. Praise God. Hallelujah. Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. Let's pray. Father, I just pray, Lord, for this service this morning. And there may be some in this service that they don't know you. They're not saved. They've not been born again. Lord, I just pray that you will speak very clearly to their heart today. Let them know, Lord, that you are the Lord that can appear to them even now and can reveal yourself to them now as Lord and Savior. Lord, I pray that you would save the lost during this Christmas season. And I pray, Lord, that you would reveal yourself to people in their times of need, their struggles, their sorrows, grief, sickness, all the things that they may be facing, going through some really difficult, sad times. But Lord, I know that you veiled yourself in flesh so that we could know that you are truly the Son of God, come to redeem this world. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.